We lost a general in the church. Our brother Jim Beach on Friday night went home to be with the Lord. And I talked to Dorothy yesterday. Dorothy, you blessed me so much. She's here this morning. She told me, she said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go drive the van in the morning because I know that's what the Lord would want me to do. And that's what my husband Jim would want me to do. And she's sitting here right now. You know, I just want to take a minute. I wonder if the family is around them. I wonder if maybe 25 or 40 people would just get up and go over there and give them a big hug. Let them know how much you love them. Bless them. Tell them how much you care for them. This morning, so precious. How we need one another in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Chris Buzniak, I want you to bring me a offering bucket, would you? Can you find one there? Yes, God. I felt this morning, too, this is our last Sunday of the month, that we take a missions offering. As I was praying this week, and I just didn't get anything from the Lord. And then when this took place, I felt the Lord say, I want to sow into Dorothy Beach's life today. So I'm going to take a missions offering for Dorothy Beach, who her and her husband have served here. Put his picture up there, if you would, Polly. Serve this church and driving the bus and the van for a lot of years. I mean, in the middle of the winter, they'd be over there. Sometimes if it was 10 below zero, he'd get here at 6 o'clock. He'd be over there warming up that bus to pick up people. And I just felt this morning, you know, I think that we could do something on that. I want you to, if you'll sow into that, just bring it right down here now. And we're just going to let them know how much we love them. Come here, Garrett, and hold this, would you, honey? Thank you. I don't think I've ever done this before, but I felt this was something that the Lord,
but it feels good, don't it?
He wanted to do this morning. Yeah. The calling hours will be this week, Tuesday, 4 to 8 p.m. They're going to be right here at the church. And then the funeral will be here Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock. And I'd love it if you could just come and you could be a part of that one time or another. Why don't you hold on. Everybody done that wants to give something? Just stand there. You look good anyways. People give more when somebody's holding the offering bucket. That looks good, I think. Hold on. Hang on just a minute because I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to bring something. And then Kate. get Cheryl Cross it and you, Garrett, and just go over at the side there and count that and then write it on a paper. So we're going to give that to them this morning. This week, you know, I'm so cognizant of that I do this as part of the calling on my life is to help people through times like this. And it's strange. I've never found it in the Bible. My mother used to say things like this, they kind of happen in threes. And I don't know if it's coincidence. I really don't know. But I put this together this week. My wife's aunt, her father, Andy, who many of you remember, also drove bus. Her aunt died this week as well. She lived in Nova Scotia. And I read in the paper that this 40-year-old man that got up one day and was working and was killed in an accident up in Darien. And I say this to you today because you and I, you do not know the moment or the time that this may be your last time. It could be for someone here. And I don't say this to scare anybody. Listen, I grew up in churches that, I mean, the preacher, he'd preach. So you might, he'd tell stories, and they were true stories about people that left church and were hit by a car out in the middle of the road. And I don't pray that over anybody. This isn't about making you afraid. This is about causing you and I to think and to consider and to make some decisions and to make some choices. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about heaven, and I was thinking about eternity, and I think sometimes people don't give enough credence to eternity. And some, then, they're just ignorant of it. And then there's others that don't want to believe it or embrace it. They think they're going to live forever. They can do whatever they want, and nothing is going to stop them or hurt them. And nothing could be further from the truth, because each one of you are going to meet eternity. All of us are, someday or another. And I think it's just so appropriate this morning that this same day that we're looking at this a little bit, that we're at the end of the service, we're going to do the moving up with the kids, the jam and the big kids and the tag youth. I think it's so appropriate for us to remember eternity and the loss of life, but also to invest in these young people that are coming here too. I want to share a couple verses of scripture to you before I just share with you, and I'm not going to be long, but I want you to listen to this, because this is truth here today. You may be here and you may think, well, you know, I just don't believe that God is, that there's a hell, and the reality of it is that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and I'm going to explain that to you in a minute. Some people think, well, I can't believe that a loving God would send anyone to hell, and you know what? He does not. He's done everything he can to make a pathway for you and I to go to heaven. Everything. Listen to this. This is heaven. This is what I'm talking to you. Just for a minute. Revelation 21:4 says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. He's talking about Jim. He's talking about Patty's Aunt Margaret. He's talking about this gentleman and many others in the region that we don't even know or haven't met, but maybe you know of some this week. Those that know Jesus, He says He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. When a person enters into that eternal destiny that each one of us will be faced with, to the ones that have called on the name of the Lord and made Him the Lord and Savior of their life, the Bible says that when they enter heaven, He wipes away every tear. There'll be no sorrow in heaven. There'll be no pain. There'll be no disappointment. There'll be no hurt. Jesus said, every tear will be wiped away. There shall be no more death. There's no more mourning or crying. Heaven is going to be an awesome place to go. The Bible says in Philippians 3:20, He says, our citizenship is in heaven. This is not your final home. You can make all the plans here you want. You're not taking them with you. And I'm not telling you to be slothful here and just say, well, I'm just going to do whatever because I'm going to be in heaven. No, but I am telling you that you are, I almost wanted to preach about this. You are homeless here on earth because Jesus has made your home in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform, listen to that, He will transform whatever issues you're going through today. When you step into heaven, they're going to be all gone. He says He'll transform your lowly body to be like His glorious body. Isn't that amazing? That when you get into heaven, one of the things that Dorothy said, I know Jim is walking now. You better believe he's walking. He's running. That's the power of heaven. Transform your body to be like His by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. One of our favorite scriptures, John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should never perish but have eternal life. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. I used to, as a young Christian, I used to think, how can God be so loving? Well, yeah, He says, if I don't accept Him as my Savior, there's wrath that is already on me. Do you know that when Jesus went to the cross, He took your sin, He took your pain, He took the curse that was appointed under your life. The day you came screaming out of your mother's womb, so beautiful, and everybody was oohing and aahing over you, you were guilt-ridden, you were full of sin, you were bound by life to end up in hell. From that moment, keep on playing with me, Rufus, I need your help. The first service, I think I shocked them a little bit coming out of the gate talking like this. You were born with the wrath of God upon you. But when you make Jesus your Lord and Savior, He takes the guilt, He takes the wrath, He takes your curse, He takes your sin. And the Bible says He nailed it to the cross. When He shed His blood, He died. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He rose again. And the Bible says that Spirit lives inside of you. He'll do the same thing for you. You don't have the wrath on you anymore. But if you've never made Him your Lord and Savior, you live with that guilt. You live with that wrath. You live with that pain. You walk around with sacks of weight on your shoulder. And why do that when Jesus has come to the world to seek and to save that which was lost and give you life and give it to you more abundantly and destroy the works of the devil that would try to ruin and destroy your life? He said, He who believes in the Son has eternal life. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There would be a lot of talk in the season, in the culture, in the society that we live in. There's many ways to go through God. No, the Bible declares today there is one way to heaven. His name is Jesus Christ, because no one else has ever come, given their life, died, and rose again, and lives today. And ever, the Bible says, makes intercession for you next to God the Father. One way to heaven. His name is Jesus today. Come on, all the Christians, you ought to be happy about that today. You ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank Jesus. John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life, that they know you are the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You, Lord. Acts 4:12, there's salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must, not might, not someday, we must be saved. Jesus taught us about heaven in John 14, verse 2. He said, in my Father's house, King James says, New King James says, there's many mansions. In New American Standard, he says, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back for you and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. I want to tell you today, Jim Beach is with Jesus right as we speak. When he closed his eyes here, he opened them in heaven. I can't even fathom what that would be like. When he opened his eyes, he stepped into a mansion. Come on, all your family up there. Jim, you need to know that today. Dorothy, Jesus was standing there waiting. Welcome, Jim. Here is the mansion. I mean, it was built. It looks good. It had a replica of his motorcycle in there, the whole nine yards. Peter says about heaven in 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be. be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and His great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is in heaven for you and I. Wow! That is beautiful today. Paul assures us of heaven in 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built with human hands. He talks about an earthly tent. He uses that phrase in another portion of Scripture in the epistles. He said he's going to take this tent down here, going to put it up in another place. He talks about our bodies as an earthly tent. But when it fades away, when it perishes, when it dies, and it is, getting ready this morning, I'm feeling aches and pains. I'm not the way I was when I'm 20. Not far off, but I'm not the way I was. Because our body fades. It gets old. It doesn't work like it used to. But the Bible says that we have a building from God in heaven, a new body that's like Jesus. I mean, it's streamlined. It's strong. It's good looking. Amen. It's not been made with human hands. And Jesus tells us about heaven in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn among all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. Jesus says in John 11, when he was talking to Mary and Martha after their brother Lazarus had died, I love this. Martha says to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You could have done more, Lord. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, I know he'll rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And this is the question. And I love to ask this question. Jesus says, do you believe this? Because if you believe this, the Bible says maybe your outer body will fade. It won't work like it used to. But someday, when you close your eyes here for the last time, you don't die, you don't perish, you're not no more. You step into an eternal glory, not made with man's hands, but made by the hand of a living God. And He gives you eternity forever and forever. And we worship, and that's why we honor God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength today. Come on, you ought to clap your hands better than I'm talking about heaven today. Yeah. One last scripture verse. John 6:47. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, be he who believes in me. Say that with me. He who believes in me, in Jesus, has everlasting life. All those scriptures I just told you. No other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He said, no man can come to the Father but through me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread. This comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and never die. Oh, we praise you, God, today. We praise you for eternity. We thank you for a man that served, that lived, that gave his life for others. God, I thank you for the Beach family today. And I pray, God, your peace, your help, your hope. God, I pray blessing over them. And God, I just speak life and peace to them today in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said amen. Put your hands together one more time for the Lord. Would you do that? Come on, one good praise for the Lord. One more time. Lord, we love you. We praise your name, God. We praise your name. Come on. We praise your name, Lord God. We love you, Lord. We thank you, God. Now, God, I just ask you for just the next couple minutes that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. I'm going to take about 6 more minutes. I've been doing this the last few Sundays. I love my sister over here. She said, take an hour. Just stay right up here with me, Rufus, because I'm not going to be long here. I just thought of this week, that we could make one decision. We could make one commitment. We could make one choice that would change our destiny, that would change our future, that would make a difference in all and everything that we do. Paul said it in Philippians while he was in jail in chapter 3. He said, I don't consider myself as taking hold of anything, but he said, one thing I do, one thing. He said, I forget what's behind. I move ahead. And some of you need to do that today. You need to move ahead. God spoke through Isaiah in Isaiah 43. He said, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the things of the past. He said, I'm doing a new thing and it'll spring up. Don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in a wasteland. He said, this is your time. And what one thing could you do? As I think about this that has happened this week, what things could we do? Could we work on our habits? For some of you, you've allowed some negative habits to be ingrained in your life so much that they are destroying who you are not called to be. You are called to be a man and a woman of God with a destiny on your life. And God wants to help you with some of the habits. Some of you you're dealing, you need to make a decision in your relationships. It is your time to move out of the toxic connections that hold you captive in your life. For some of you, maybe it's your money. You're not focusing on how you're to deal with it. It's a negative habit in your life, and you need to ask God to help you with it. You need to have Him help you with the stewardship aspect of your life. For others of you, it's maybe your health. Maybe it's time for you. You put off going to the doctor. You say, well, you know, I'm going to die anyways. Yeah, but you don't want those people that love you, and maybe you don't need to die so fast. Go to the doctor. Do what you got to do. Go to the gym. Get up. Get out of the chair. Get off the couch. Go for a walk. Get a bicycle. Go to the gym. Do something. Change your life. Change your habit. One thing is what you need to do. And some of you need to begin to dream again. You need to begin to ask the Lord, what would He have you to do? When I talk about going to L.A., some of you think, yeah, you know, I'd like to do that, but. There's no buts. I used to tell Ben when he's a little boy, he said, Benny, you got to do this. He goes, yeah, but daddy. I go, Benny, no buts. Stop with your butt. Get your dream going. You know, when I was praying over this morning, this came to me for someone. You've been hurt in a relationship, and you said, I will never get married again. And I felt the Lord speak to me to tell someone today that He has a spouse waiting for you and that He's going to hook you up. Whoa. Okay. I'm talking about just one thing today. And David said, Psalm 27:4, one thing I ask, this is what I seek, that I can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, Jesus and His disciples were on their way, and He came to a village where a woman named Martha, same trio, opened her home to Him, and she had a sister called Mary and sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted. She was in the kitchen. She was making a lunch, and she goes to Jesus. Martha says, Jesus, can't you tell Mary she needs to quit listening to you? Get up and come and help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is needed. Everybody say one thing. Say just one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Some of you are so busy. You got so much going on that Jesus comes last, and He wants to be first in your life. So what do? Make a decision, number one, to make the most out of the time He has given to you. You have a space of time. Make the most of it. Ephesians 5. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Make the most out of what God's given you. Number two, make the decision to get rid of distractions in your life. Martha was so distracted. And you know what I felt in my heart today? That sometimes people get distracted by what they think other people are thinking of them. I'm worried about, this one thinks I'm this, and this one thinks, and I think they said this about me. And the reality of it is nobody's thinking anything. And if they are, what is it up to you? Let people think what they want. Live your life for God, and you won't be distracted with all the nonsense. Hebrews 12:1, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that entangles you, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Quit allowing distractions in your life to stop who God has called you to be. Quit letting people that you think don't like you. Okay. You are going, if you don't have some people that don't like you, you aren't doing anything positive in this world. Oh, Pastor, but I want everybody to like me. So don't I. Guess what? They don't. And you know what? You don't even want them to. There's some people that, yeah, I just need to move on from that. And last, make the decision that Jesus will be first in your life always. Going to live my life with God first. He's going to be the center. He's going to be number one above anything else that I want in my own personal life. Philippians 3, I once thought of these things were valuable, Paul said, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ as my Lord. For this sake, I've discarded everything, counting it all as garbage, that I may gain Jesus Christ. Come on today. One thing you need to do. And He'll lift you and He'll help you to do that in a powerful way. We get this morning. Aaron, come on up and help me here. We get this morning to see these beautiful kids move up today. I love them so much. Where's the jam? Where's all that? Bring them down. Come on, as these kids come down, give them the biggest hand clap. Look at this beautiful group of kids.